Hi, greetings and welcome to Prison Pipeline, airing from the studios of KBOO Portland. Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening the understanding of the institution of incarceration. I'm your host, Adam Carpinelli, and we're here with Fury Young. Fury, how you doing?
Hey Adam, I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us. And really excited to talk about all this great work that you're doing. It's definitely very groundbreaking. But let's start off before we talk about Free Your Records. What's the journey there? What's the story? How did you get involved in music and arts and all that?
Well, I grew up in a pretty artistic household. My dad was an artist and I grew up surrounded by art. I grew up in the Lower East Side, New York City, and it was kind of a rough bohemian neighborhood. A lot of drugs and, a lot of poverty, but there was also a lot of art. I was a few blocks away from Soho, where there was a ton of art back then. Now that scene in New York City has kind of moved to the Lower East Side in terms of art galleries. There were a ton of art galleries around, and my dad would take me to art shows, and I grew up without a TV, so I was kind of forced to use my imagination and really fell in love with movies. I'd say movies were like my first love as an artist, maybe drawing, but movies were the first love that I wanted to do myself. And I always wanted to make films that incorporated music in a really big way. Like music would almost overtake the scene and, become the film. I pursued that for a while. I made a couple films, some short films when I was a teenager and going into my early 20s. And then I picked up a guitar when I was like 22. I had moved to Los Angeles to just get away from the city, try something new, take some community college classes because I hadn't gone to college after high school. I wanted to like expand my worldview. And this kind of crazy thing happened where, first of all, I didn't have any friends. So I had some time on my hands. And I was writing poetry and songs and learning a bit of guitar. But then also, I took this class called 20th Century Genocide at LA City College, and the professor was awesome. And I was really wrapped up into the class. And then, right after that, starting this is September 2011, Occupy Wall Street started, and it quickly spread throughout the nation and the world, even. And I was very skeptical at first, but because I was lonely and the history I was reading about eventually connected to some of the stuff that was going on in the present day, and I had felt some of the effects of the recession that had happened a few years prior, I started to like show up, to these Occupy things. And I, in earnest, got into activism around that time. It was a perfect storm. And then fast forward to a couple years later, I had moved back to New York and I was involved with the Occupy scene here. And I just felt like, man, everyone is so disorganized, and I'm going to all these meetings, and no one can agree on anything. And I wasn't even sure what my cause was that I cared the most about. And then I picked up this book called The New Jim Crow, which was really popular at the time. And I was curious about it. I was a little bit interested in Black American history. And, I'd known some people who'd been incarcerated. And I really loved the book. It had a huge impact on me. And I decided that I wanted to make an album about the book, but use formerly and currently incarcerated Black musicians as the storytellers for the album and make it like this epic concept album. I was listening to a lot of Pink Floyd, and I wanted to basically make the wall in prison and with people who had been to prison.
And so then that leads up to starting what's basically what it's the first independent record label in the United States that's only for folks who are and use the term prison impacted, which I also wanted to circle back on that term. But let's talk a little bit about what are the next step there, because you also of course work with so many very talented people who are inside somewhere, somewhere maybe outside now. There's probably maybe a few success stories there. So that probably helped to gel a lot of the kind of formation of the label.
Well, it was a long process from the album to the label. I'm talking 6 years because, first of all, I had a full-time job. I was a carpenter at a wood shop. I was working long days and nights, and I was doing what was called Die Jim Crow in the beginning as a passion project, totally on the sidelines, And I started to try to get access to prisons in end of 2013. That was the year I started it. And it took a while to get in. Finally, in 2015, I got into one in Ohio. Long story short, between those 6 years, I had major gaps in prison access and funding, and it was so piecemeal. But then finally, by around 2018, I was able to crack the access part. And I did get into quite a few prisons around that time, like four new ones. And after this one trip where we recorded like 25 people in one trip and three prisons, I just realized, holy cow, this is a record label. This is way bigger than my one closed off idea of this very specific concept album thing. So then we made that transition to becoming a record label. And we say prison impacted because we've never recorded in jails. We tend to work with people who've done some bids, done some time, been to so far only state prisons we've worked in. But our folks, some of them are never getting out. Some have done, maybe a few years, but a lot of them are lifers. It allows us to really put roots down with people, actually, instead of like working in a jail where they might be there for a short period of time. We like to really build with our artists. We don't like to see them in prison for a long time or ever, but we form long-term relationships with folks, and then we continue to work with them when they get out.
So this is the first time this is happening. I guess, nobody just had that idea, within that whole exploration. What did you find there as far as, is obviously there's this need for this thing that hasn't happened, and why nobody has just scratched the surface until now and things of that nature. What's going on there?
I mean, look, I'm not trying to be humble, but I don't think that my idea was that unique. I just think that it's really hard to get access to prisons and that I was super tenacious.
So, can you talk a little bit about that process too? And also, because for listeners, might not be familiar with the areas, and what are the how did that networking work? How did you contact these facilities? What facilities were they? And also, how that relates to now, as far as like where are people getting out of or currently incarcerated that are creating all this great music?
Well, the first prison I got access to was totally a fluke. I had just found this directory and I contacted like everything on it. It was all prison art stuff. And there was this one place in Ohio where there was a choir director. Shout out to Dr. Catherine Roma. And she had been volunteering there for a couple decades. And she just had recently read The New Jim Crow and really loved my idea. And she pushed for it. It was lucky. But it took 3 years to get in again anywhere. And what happened was I met a fella named Justin Jones, who was actually the director of corrections in Oklahoma. And he'd been director for 8 years plus. He'd been in corrections for like 3 decades, but he actually was super aligned with what we were doing, really good heart, had gotten into corrections for the right reasons, just grew up kind of tough background, father, a jailbird, in and out. And he loved music, lo loves music. And he met me at the time. I was a long hair, kind of hippie rocker kid who was just clearly super passionate. And he had recently stopped doing the correction stuff as a director. And at least on that level, he was working with youth at the time. And he said, "Man, whatever I can do to get you into some prisons, I believe in the power of music." I remember he told me when he was on death row, when he was a director, he noticed that because of this thing he introduced, which was basically like early form MP3 players, right, on one of Oklahoma's death rows, the amount of like disciplinary infractions what drastically shrank, and the guard prisoner relations improved a lot because there was banter, there was livelihood, there was, oh, you like that song? That song's trash. And it just increased the quality of life a lot. And he felt really strongly from that death row experience around the power of music. And he just pushed really hard for us to get into a few places. So, in terms of where we got in, it was kind of random. Like, I just knew someone in Colorado who I was talking to who was a musician. And I said, well, let's put Colorado on the list. He happened to know the director at the time. So, we got into Colorado. I knew someone in Mississippi that I've been talking to for years trying to get into Parchman. And he's like, well, Parchman isn't going to let you in right now, but let's try this other place. And Justin, sent his recommendation letter. We got in there. And then we also got into two prisons in South Carolina, also due to another musical connection. So it was really like, take it where you find it. There were other places that we did apply to with that Justin Jones proposal, and it didn't work, So it wasn't like everything was a home run, but it definitely helped a lot open the doors.
So let's talk a little bit about, some of the talent. Who are some key players, as of since you started, what kind of music, what kind of releases are we looking at? Who are the artists? What are they doing today?
Yeah, well, I'm gonna take this opportunity to honor a few people. Thank you for the question. It's kind of wide open, and there's quite a few of people I want to say. But tonight, I'm going to shout out first and foremost Miss Naomi, who performs as Simply Naomi, and she passed away on Friday. So I'm deeply honoring her. It was a tremendous loss. She had been sick for a while with cancer, but this woman did 37 years in Pennsylvania prisons and is just completely a national treasure. I mean, this woman should have been on, Oprah and doing daytime TV. She is such a incredible musician, keyboard player, and singer. The whole package. Great stage presence, just amazing. Everyone, when she was inside, everyone would come to see her. The devil worshipers, the Christians, the Muslims, the Wiccans, they would all come to see Miss Naomi. And we had the privilege and honor of getting to record some with her while she was out. She only did 6 years free after that 37. So she did half her life in prison and half her life in the free world. And she got out after 37 in 2019. And we recorded an EP with her and a group that she helmed called Lifer's Groove. And we also recorded, which hasn't been finished yet, a solo album. It's a gospel record that hopefully will be out next year. And it was executive produced. It is being executive produced by another person I'm going to shout out, BL Sherrell, who did time with Miss Naomi. And Miss Naomi kind of mentored her as a musician while they were incarcerated together. BL Sherrell is now my co-executive director of the label, but we met when she was in prison 10 years ago. And she is a phenomenal writer, songwriter, producer and rapper. And we've put out a LP from her called Estado Troy. It was the first album we ever put out as a label. And she's working on a follow-up now. And let's see, I also want to big up B Alexis, who we're doing all the ladies tonight. So B Alexis is going to be the first woman, as far as we know, to ever release an album from prison. Certainly here in the States, I'm almost positive that's true. I'm a big history nerd, big prison music history nerd. And she is a super sharp rapper, lyricism, impeccable, full of hard-won wisdom. She recently lost her son due to gun violence in early last year. And we just put out a single and music video called I Can't Lie, which you can check out. And it's dedicated to her son. It was written while he was alive, actually. He was like 14 or 13 at the time. And by the time that it was finally released and we had the video out, he had tragically been killed. And it was one of these cautionary tales and kind of art imitating life, where some of the things she was telling her son in the song as a cautionary tale did manifest. And he, got he was in the streets, and he was killed, and it was just really, it was really tragic. He had a real bright future. I had the honor of meeting him. And her album is gonna drop in June. So there's this story honoring Jameer, her son, and a lot more on this record. It's called Ninth in Gasoline, and it comes out June 6th. So definitely look out for that. And then I know this is like the longest answer of all time, but there's one other person I'm gonna shout out who is Spoon Jackson. He is, God, we work with some people who are just doing way too much goddamn time. But he is on his 48th year of prison. He got locked up when he was 20 in 1977. We put out an album of his last year called No Moon, and it's a spoken word album, but it's actually a good spoken word album. I happen to find poetry albums super boring because I'm a musical person. I don't like listening to people talk on music. I like listening to people sing or rap or whatever. But this is actually a really dope album. Nicholas Snyder, who is the composer of it, did a just awesome job creating this like ethereal soundscape. And on March 29th, I don't know if any folks listening are going to be in the New York City area by chance, but we are going to premiere a full visual album for Spoon. We worked with 18 filmmakers over the last year doing a video for every song on his record, and it will go online after the event, but look out for that. It's going to be really cool. It's just a, I don't know if you ever played Exquisite Corpse, Adam. That's what I called it growing up. But it's like that game where you fold the paper and then you draw or you write a thing on one fold and then like a little sliver onto the next one. And whoever you pass it to has to continue. It kind of feels like that. It's like this awesome hodgepodge of all these different artists who didn't see anyone else's film, but then ended up making this cohesive body of work where there's actually so much overlap in terms of different themes that each filmmaker drew from.
So it sounds like there's a lot of different creative directions that, aside from even Spoon's creativity with all his writing, they were also able to do their own kind of cinematic interpretation, if you will. Or is that kind of what that's looking like or will look like?
That's it. I mean, and it's cool too because Spoon is a very, how should I put it? He's a very inspiring person in the sense that he loves to be like a muse for other artists. He loves to teach poetry inside. He loves to work with artists in the free world who are doing stuff around his poetry. He's got collaborators like from Sweden to Norway to New York to California. So it's in true Spoon fashion to have such a collage of artists come together and make this awesome work.
Yeah, well, Spoon has also been featured on the program, and we want to have him back on because, yeah, I mean, just scratching the surface of like all this amazing stuff that he's been doing inside, which which we see that a lot, right? A lot of people doing a lot of amazing things inside while completely restricted, in so many ways. And where, as far as the videos too, where can people, are those going to be also on online? And that also includes any of the music that you're talking about from any of these folks, Naomi and Spoon.
Yeah, so Simply Naomi, you can find her on the Lifers Groove album. It's called Groove Therapy. It's on all platforms. Her album will be out hopefully next year. B Alexis drops June 6th, but she has two singles that are currently out right now. And you can also find her on all platforms. All of these artists are on all the platforms. BL Sherrill, you can also find. And then Spoon, yeah, he'll have all the videos on YouTube. I don't know if we'll do a paywall for some of it, but they'll be available online very soon.
What's the web links that people can check out as well to find all this great stuff?
Well, freerecords.com has got all our stuff under artists. You can check it out. Yeah, it's just freer underscore records, FREER records.
Now, as far as people who, I mean, some people maybe they just want to support the program, it's one thing, but then there's also people who maybe that, want to do this work like what we're doing and trying to, work as much as we can with people who are, well, inside and or, returning citizens, prison impacted folks. How does that process work?
Well, Definitely. Thanks for shouting out the fundraising part, because let's get that out of the way. I mean, we are a nonprofit and it is super difficult to fundraise. You know, you're constantly fundraising, but we love doing it because we love connecting with new people. BL has this donor rock star series where she's been interviewing some of our donors and getting to know them better. And they're really interesting people who support us for a wide variety of reasons. Some because they did time themselves and they see how important art was while they were in there and they wish they had had a freer records. And some folks who are just activists or just think there's something messed up about the prison system, or they believe in the power of art, or all of the above. So we love our donors and we love the support, and it really sustains us. It really does. So thank you, anyone who's donated. We also have some amazing volunteers. We scaled back a little bit at the end of last year, beginning of this year, because the funding was tight. I'm not going to lie about that. Funding was tight and we had to scale back. But we're in a pretty good place now, just in terms of small team, and the volunteers we do have are doing really specific work. There's one project that I'm actually, after this, I'm gonna start a training on with a new volunteer, and it's called Freer Music. And we are gonna be distributing music for folks who are prison impacted. We're not gonna sign them to, you know, make their album for them, or do music videos or promote their publicity and stuff like that, but we're gonna distribute, digitally distribute, and administer their publishing. So that's been cool. And that is something that we could have more volunteers help with. So that's one volunteer opportunity. You can hit us up at info@freerrecords.com if you're interested in something like that. That's really the main volunteer effort right now in terms of the label. In terms of artists, I'd say look out for Spoon Jackson's No 50 petition. We're going to be launching this petition on the day of the screening, where we'll be premiering all 14 films for his visual album. And it's called No 50 because, as you might have gathered a minute ago, Spoon's about to be on 50 years of incarceration. And that is just, we don't want that to happen. So it seemed like simple branding, good direct message that we can share with, you know, the powers that be. And those powers that be are really the governor of California. I don't know or have a connection to the current governor of California, but especially because this is a Northwest pod, if any folks do, please reach out, info@freerrecords.com. And we're going to be launching a petition called No 50 for Spoon. And we're just going to be trying to galvanize as much support as we can. And when we launch that, which again will be late March, like early April, it will be no later than first week of April. So just look out for that on our website or our Instagram. We'll be providing instructions for not only signing the petition, but also writing a letter directly to the governor. So stand by for the No 50 for Spoon Jackson.
It's a great project, and it sounds like it's this is where all these different moving parts are happening with activism, art, music, advocacy work. It sounds like this project is, I don't know if it's like the only one that's ever done that. It sounds like it might be, including all the film work.
Well, it's been really organic, Adam. Like, I gotta say, you know, none of it was that planned. In the beginning, like I was saying in the beginning of us talking, it was just this one album. And then it kept growing, and I started to raise money because I was broke. I was funding it myself, and I would get prison art and I would sell prison art and split it 50-50. And, you know, people inside really loved helping the cause like that. So I realized this is a cool idea. And then before I knew it, I had, you know, 50 pieces more from prison. Then the pandemic happened and we ended up sending 30,000 masks to different prisons and jails across the United States because we had this PPE into prisons campaign. All these artists came together. We did weekly shows on Zoom where we'd raise money to send in KN95 masks and stuff. And that was super organic. And then, you know, even the one album to record label thing. That's the biggest, you know, evolution that we've had. We have an instruments into prisons campaign that evolved from the PPE into prisons campaign. It's a little dormant right now because we've scaled back, but we've sent like $18,000 market value worth of gear to, I want to say, over a dozen facilities across the country. So I guess my message is this, besides all that not so humble bragging. You don't need to do too much to make a big difference, especially for folks who are inside. The main thing I'd say you do need to have, though, is wherewithal and consistency. You can't be popping up and then fly by night. You can't say, oh, I have a bleeding heart. I want to help someone on the inside and then write them five letters and vanish off the face of the earth. But if you have the wherewithal to really stand by folks, to, maybe be annoyed by some prison phone calls. I'm talking to staff where you're trying to, let's say, get in someone a base because they want to have access to a base, And then not only do you get the base inside, but you follow up. You make sure that the base arrived. You make sure the base got into the music room. You make sure that the person you sent the base to actually has access to play the base. If you're willing to do these kinds of things, then you can easily make a huge positive impact on someone's life who's incarcerated and coming out too,
Right.
just building that community with people.
That is highly anecdotal. When it comes to the correspondence kind of piece you were talking about with, people sometimes have a flaky correspondence or intermittent kind of things of that nature. I'm imagining now is you might be a little busy with correspondences, words kind of getting out, right? I mean, this is a national project in the sense that anybody, right, any around the United States can work with y'all and everything. So
It's not like some giant household name yet, which is good because we are still a small-scaled company. And so I don't think we'd be able to manage all that yet. But that is the goal. Our goal is that anyone can hit us up. And even if we don't have the resources to take on their project in terms of producing it start to finish, paying for all expenses, doing music videos, et cetera. We will be able to say, do you want to be part of Free Your Music? We will digitally distribute and publish your catalog. And they can become part of the community. And who knows where that could go. So we're not turning down too many people. We have certainly in the past. And I think what's cool about this Free Your Music endeavor is that we'll be able to say to people who want to put out stuff with us, hey, we're not going to be able to just drop everything and start some new project. We're a nonprofit, so oftentimes we need to apply for grants in order to do that. And there's a lot of rigmarole to get that even off the ground. However, let's stay in community because we can digitally distribute and administer your publishing. So, come on board to Free Your Music. And even that, we're not taking new clients on just yet. I have a big compilation album we're doing right now. It's like 15 different artists, and that's we kind of dove in head first with this Free Your Music thing. So we're doing that for now, and that's going to be a huge trial by fire. But we're going to start the Instagram publicly in the next few weeks. April 4th is when the first single from Free Your Music will come out. It's a project called Bending the Bars. And it'll say, reach out to us. No new submissions at the moment, but be in touch, be in community. Like, we want to connect with you. If you're a prison impacted artist, we want to connect with you. We might not have the resources right away because, like I said, we're small right now, but we want to potentially help you out. And this Free Your Music thing could be a cool way to do that. If you're in New York, we do shows. Maybe you could be an opener. If we're in the Northwest ever, same thing applies. So it's really about forming a strong community nationwide. Just reach out. Info@freerecords.com is our general email. We do respond to stuff. And thank you. Thank you so much, Adam.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. You too. Of course. Anytime. Free your records. Free them all.